Trials Podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here on a very nice sunny morning.
It's been very temperate this weekend.
Yeah, like it's actually fall in Minnesota, which means like highs in the low 60s if you're lucky sometimes.
I had a sweatshirt on when I first went out yesterday and then quickly shed it because I was working in the garden and then pulling buckthorn. And having a great time with the loppers.
Yes.
Because apparently I'm turning into my father.
When you were doing that, I napped.
It's true.
I rarely take naps, but I'm trying to regulate my sleep. And part of that is catching up. So.
Yeah. I was nervous when I was throwing branches onto the pile. If it would create a thud, that would be too noisy.
Oh, no. I mean, there's always white noise in the bedroom. So.
And I figured it would be in keeping with all the wind in the trees, since it was breezy. But I made it mostly to the next evergreen tree in the row.
Yeah.
There's just some more stuff underneath the low-hanging branch that, shocker, a tall person does not enjoy being under.
Yes. So, it's one of those continual things where the buckthorn has reigned supreme for decades.
And now there's so much more open space coming up.
Yeah.
So, I sprinkled some Joe Pye weed seed. Planted some Joe Pye weed in the shady spots, planted some other stuff.
Really making more of a habitat for pollinators and
native bees. We have a lot of native bees in Minnesota, more than other parts of the country. So do a good deed. Help a bee.
Yes. On a bee-related note, you know that my cozy game, Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yes.
They had their developer showcase this past week, and they showed the new expansion they're releasing in November, which is called Wish Blossom Ranch.
Oh.
Which is very Disney in terms of a name.
Yes, it is.
And this one's for the horse girlies. They are rolling out horse companions that you can ride, and it'll help you, like, do your tasks, like, faster, I guess?
Oh.
Like watering plants.
But will you give up your Bun Bun buddies?
No, I won't. But it's interesting because they teased it like a month ago, and I'm like, this is really for the 90s horse girlies. Like
the Lisa Frank folder people?
Yes. But then they show them in action and you can actually use them. It's not just riding to get somewhere quicker, which arguably very hard to do because it's a cozy game, so they always have you doing tasks.
Right.
And part of that is cleanup. And I'm like, how are you going to ride through all the bullshit that they throw on this environment? Like, yeah. Sometimes you can barely walk. So
I felt that way about Skyrim and with horses.
Because
I'm like, I want to walk and pick all these reagents for potions.
Yeah. So it looks like it's better than I thought it would be. You can also unlock different horses from movies. So you can get Mulan's horse.
Oh.
You can get Pegasus from Hercules.
Can you get any of the flying Pegasus, PD Pegasus from Fantasia?
That is already in the game.
Oh.
He's not named PD in the game, though. It's just Black Pegasus. But he is actually out there, and he can become your companion.
Oh.
Which...
Have you befriended him?
Not yet. I haven't unlocked Olympia yet. So that's part of it. There's a whole thing. They do events, like any game that wants your money.
Yes.
And the current one, you have to unlock a bunch of, like, Halloween stuff, so I'm doing that.
Is that why you had a pumpkin on your head?
Yes. Because I had to take a specific picture
with a pumpkin on your head.
Yeah. So, it's looking great. The free updates that are coming in the next year include Lady and the Tramp, which I have the VHS. I feel that in our childhoods, you know, being 80s babies growing up in the 90s, like, you would rent it, like, once because it's Disney. So, yeah, I'll watch Lady and the Tramp. It never really resonated with me.
We also had it and, watched it occasionally, but it wasn't like Sleeping Beauty.
It wasn't heavy rotation Disney. So, it's fun, like, sure. It's free, so it's going to come out anyway. The two big ones I'm excited for are Pocahontas.
Oh.
Which I'm excited for Pocahontas. She's like the last Disney princess, aside from Raya, which I've never seen, to really get into the game because Cinderella is coming in December. And Snow White is coming with Wish Blossom Ranch.
Have you already met Aurora?
Not yet. I haven't unlocked her. There are so many things that I still have yet to unlock. So when I'm on Reddit and people are like, ugh, I have nothing left to do, I'm like,
how many hours did you sink into that game?
Yeah, like, it takes a lot of time because to get to a new thing, you have to, like, do tasks. You get the in-game, not currency, it's more like a resource you have to spend to unlock.
Okay.
It takes a lot. Like, to unlock the Beauty and the Beast realm, I needed, like, 12,000, which these little onesie-twosie tasks where it's like, take a picture, it earns you 100.
Oh.
So...
you're like, this is 1% or less.
So, these people who are just burning through shit and they're like, I got done with this, you know, Star Path, which is the regular paid event where you can earn the moonstones for free to unlock it. So it's not necessarily spending actual money, but they're like, I got through the Star Path in 36 hours. It's like, did you stay up all night? What are you doing?
How do you put the rest of your life on hold like that?
Yeah. So, the other free expansion coming is Hercules, which that's a solid Disney movie, which I feel gets overlooked because it was sort of past the Disney Renaissance prime.
Oh, that and like Emperor's New Groove?
Which is way past it.
Weren't they? They feel similar in my mind.
I've never seen Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, I watched it in high school on the way to a cross-country meet.
Which I should, because obviously Yzma's in it.
Yes.
And
one of my best friends laughs like Yzma.
Yeah.
She's like, someone told me this, and now I can't unhear it.
And she was voice acted by Eartha Kitt, so...
Oh. No wonder she has an iconic evil laugh.
Yes. So, Hercules is coming, so, that of course, like, they show you a screenshot, and then Reddit blows up with speculation about, like, who's going to come, and people are like, I hope it's Hercules and Meg, but it's probably Phil, I'm guessing. Oh. So.
Reddit is handy in a lot of ways.
It is.
But if you're spending that much time speculating on stuff, that's a lot of energy and effort.
It is. And... I mean, to a certain degree, especially video games, you want that buzz with everything. But it gets a little repetitive. After, like, the 14th post about, like, oh, look what's coming. It's like, yep, we've seen this.
Yeah, I have been relying on it for Baldur's Gate and for Hades 2.
Yes.
Really, really need to get better at defensive dashing in Hades 2.
Yeah. Which is tough.
Yeah, I got taken out on Olympus by the twin Typhons.
Oh.
But yeah.
That's video game talk.
Yeah.
Which, we're entering that season.
Yeah, now that's like, we're putting our fall seed down.
Mm-hmm.
So, a friend at the watershed gave me a whole big bag of Blazing Star seed, so that went out random places. All the other random seed that I collected from around City Hall is out. Except for the other half of the Jopai weed seed.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, so that can go once we move a brush pile.
Yeah.
That'll be destined for Jopai weed to hopefully come up and compete against the buckthorn.
Yes. But yeah, it's sort of that season where it feels really good to sit on the couch and need to remind yourself, like, you should probably get up, like, once an hour. Like...
Oh.
Go do something.
I mean, there definitely are things to do, and there's a lot of veggies to eat.
Yes.
That need prep, and I don't know how those cooking shows make it look like, oh, I just happen to have this cup of diced beets. And you're like, no, it takes so long.
It does. It really does.
And we've got delicata squash, which is fine.
You don't like what I do with squash to jazz it up because you're like, that's just mashed potatoes. But I basically, I bake it and then I scoop it all out and I add butter and milk and cheese and make like mashed squash.
Oh, I'm happy just scooping it out once it's baked and put some salt and pepper on it.
It's too boring for that. Delicata squash is far too boring to eat like that.
It must produce well, and that's why everyone has it.
Yeah, I think it's... It has a really thick skin on it, too, so I think it's resistant to a lot.
Oh, remember that time that Thelma produced really well?
I know, that was
That
like
was.
4 years ago at this point.
Yeah, it hasn't been a good Thelma year.
Yeah, Thelma Sanders, champion of squash. I think next year, instead of doing different types of squash, we just do like three beds of Thelma
Yeah.
and just settle on one squash per year,
Yeah.
one variety, and letting it go like that.
Ooh, but next time we're up here, we have to harvest the dry beans.
Oh, yeah, there are some that are still a little green, it
Yeah,
looks like.
the vines definitely have wilted, and so there's a lot of pods out there, but a bunch of pods are still green.
Yeah, so they need to dry out.
Yeah, and we actually still need to use the beans from last year, I feel.
Oh yeah, which they keep, which is nice.
Yeah. So, a stew, a soup,
Yeah.
a something. It'll probably turn purple because those scarlet runner beans are so pretty. It's like a dark purple with light purple streaks in it. So.
And I've been listing things on eBay, omnibuses, which, pro tip, if you buy omnibuses and you know you're not going to get to them for a while, leave them in the shrink wrap on the shelf because you may change your mind in the future. And they're worth so much more if they're still in the shrink wrap. And Marvel especially allows things to go out of print
Oh.
and the value goes way up. So I looked at like all of my X-Men ones where I'm like, I either have them in floppies still, or I can just read them on Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, yeah.
And it is hopefully going to be lucrative and paying for some commissions.
Oh.
I mean, might as well get them off the shelf, free up space, and do something else.
Yeah. Especially as we downsize to move in together.
Yeah, and it's just like, why do I have House of M here? House of M is recent.
Oh.
And it is on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I read some of the like Save the Children or something the children.
Children's Crusade?
That one.
Yeah. Which was referenced for something with Madrox?
Yeah, I read it
Yeah.
for X Factor Files.
That's us.
X Factor Investigations.
Okay, there we go.
'Cause I'm like, how did Richter get his powers back?
Oh. And then it
So
wasn't it like one issue out of that or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't know much else about what was going on or why there was a child Kang
Oh.
who they knew he knew he was going to become evil.
Oh.
I don't know. Alpha Flight.
Yeah, so we have issues 58 through 60 here. So issue 58 is called Well, You Can Bet Your Bones It's Not On Live World. We're actually in Live World.
We are the box ship. We have Heather sitting in the box chair. Who knows what's happening with that chair?
Yeah. We know the box can change its form.
Yes. And so there's the obligatory recap. There's the, oh no, how are we getting home? And Sasquatch and Mannequin are like, we're going to rewire you so that you can unearth these memories about how you entered warp so that you can warp us back home again.
Yeah, except they are like, we actually don't have a home.
That's true.
Our home is gone.
Yeah. Purple Girl notices things up with Goblin, who is she's like, oh, this you don't normally growl like this unless Laura Dean is in danger. But Laura Dean is in Live World, so she must be safe and having a good time, right?
She must be here.
She must.
But no, Laura is running for her life in Live World.
Very uncharacteristic. And she runs into and gets facepalmed by Dream Queen.
Yes. And she's like, listen here, you brat. Transport me to where you come from.
I'm over Live World.
Yeah.
I've done all of the things.
For centuries, I've done all the things here.
Yeah. I need a new game to play.
And Laura's like, I can't do that. Goblin is the one who initiates the swap.
And she only swaps when I'm in danger, and Dream Queen is like, okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. So, and she chokes Laura Dean with like this cane thing. It looks horrible. And Goblin reacts in Dead World slash the box ship. And Mannequin splits off, and Purple Girl's like, no, I got this. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she does her brain swap thing. So Purple Girl's sort of getting a level up, I feel, with this, like, we can share minds situation.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her. Good for Kara. Like, exploring her powers, like, it's probably the one thing that Beta Flight is good, doing well for her.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, an inappropriate relationship and constantly in death situations.
Yes. Always in danger.
Yeah. So, as she's doing this mind meld with Goblin, the ship lurches, and she bonks into the box chair, and Sasquatch is like, keep her away. The course back to Earth is being fed through now. If she interrupts it, we could be lost.
Yeah, there's the data transfer is happening from the computer core. It's interrupted, and
the mind merge goes wonky.
Yeah, Madison is now included in the mind merge, and they warp to Live World.
Yeah. Box, or Sasquatch might be too. He's got, or she's got the yellow glow of the mind merge. And yeah, there's some floating islands, there's the river, there's a crash because Box is incapacitated and the ship is flying blind.
Yes.
So Heather blasts through a wall because she needs to help deflect the ship away from the floating islands. So poor Madison is put through the ringer.
Yes.
Like, his brain is fried, his ship body's being blasted apart, and there's a gigantic crash. A kathroom, if you will.
And the team is sort of scattered as a result of it.
Yeah, Purple Girl sees Goblin run off, but then she finds Sasquatch and the various forms of Mannequin.
Heather's missing.
Yeah.
And then the ship blasts apart with all of its usable parts forming into the box armor. Madison phases out of it so he can leave the armor.
And collapses.
Yeah. And
which, fair.
Heather is just lying prone on the ground.
Yes. Her battlesuit has been damaged and her force field is active, which means they can't actually do any sort of first aid or check on her in any meaningful way. So Goblin continues on her crusade. She finds this gigantic spire with Dream Queen, and Laura Dean is strapped to a table chair with all the wires, all the circuits attached. And Dream Queen is monologuing, as you do.
And to torture Laura, there are demons disguised as Laura's parents.
Yes.
To torment her.
Also disguised as clowns at first.
No.
And then the masks are revealed, and it's her parents. And they're saying all of these cruel things. And Laura's getting zapped, and Goblin crashes through a window and disembowels these demons disguised as
her parents.
Her parents. And Dream Queen is like, but how? Both of you together? That's not right. Someone else must have brought you here. And I want them.
So she realizes that the sisters are together. This means I have an opportunity to escape Live World right now.
Meanwhile, Goblin bites the hand that feeds her.
And the Citadel shoots off a flare. Mm-hmm. And this causes the distant team to think maybe bad weather is moving in.
Huh. And, yeah.
In the tower, Dream Queen is like, come on, demon hordes, let's make Goblin help us.
Yes.
And that's the issue.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliffhanger for Goblin.
Yeah.
And Laura Dean.
And one of the letters in the back, Debbie Smith of Spokane, Washington, likes Purple Girl. She also poses the question whether Sasquatch can use Snowbird's powers, as Sasquatch has Snowbird's physical body. Editorial, caught in a bit of a trap, explains that Wanda can't do that, quote, due to a complicated mystical reason.
I mean, you can also just say that Snowbird's mystical powers came from her mystical nature.
Yes.
And Wanda only can do the body change.
Yes. Could have said that. They didn't.
No. And issue 59, Puck's back. Old Man Puck.
The title of it is Comes a Dragon. So you know it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Because there's a dragon on the cover and you're like, this is not where we left the team. I will say that this is probably one of the most random issues of Alpha Flight ever.
Yeah, there's a lot of geopolitical things happening with China and the Cultural Revolution and the invasion of Tibet, the semi-autonomous region of China. And I don't even think I have a great grasp on the who and the why outside of a central government taking control of this region that wants nothing to do with.
Yes. So Puck is observing the Chinese military. They're approaching a temple on the Chinese-Russian border.
Yes.
And he looks old. He's tall.
Still got the P on his outfit.
Yes. Oh, the letter P.
Oh, yes. And also, like, some of the... Again, I don't know too much about the history and geopolitics of this, but some parts I feel were, like, this is a not great trope.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's sort of thinking about why he left Alpha Flight, and then he overhears why the Chinese military is there. A commander says it's to subdue the ethnic minority in the Danwei province.
Which, Uyghurs, and like the whole, still things that are happening today.
So, there are monks, and they have a high lama.
Yes.
And they are basically praying for peace. The military then gets pissed about this. The commander orders his soldiers to open fire on the monks. They stand in a line and hold hands, and then the bullets turn into flowers.
Yeah.
And
there's the mysticism thing. There's also a young soldier in the army who is like, these are enemies of the state. We have to fight them. But also, my parents were killed by the government, and I was sent to a re-education camp.
Mm.
What do I do?
And Puck is looking at this. He's like, I need to do something. So he places plastic explosives on the side of the mountain, and a big chunk of it takes out the lead helicopter and many ground soldiers. So Puck is murdering people up in here.
Yeah. Even though the monks have of their own plan, their own way to resist. So after the flower thing, that's when the helicopters get involved and go over the force field and shoot down some of the monks. Again, this young soldier is feeling his feels about it. So
the monks retreat towards the temple, and there's a big barrier.
Yeah, they expand their force field up and over, and Puck is relying on some mystical training that he got way back when that we didn't know he had until now. And he like goes into a trance.
And he walks through it.
Yes.
Because he has pure intentions.
Yes, you can walk through by one whose mind bore no malice. So, he was in a trance. Ooh, we get an ad for Typhoid Mary.
It's very 80s.
It is. The hair, the tights, everything.
So, in the army ranks, the commander summons this soldier.
Who is having doubts.
Yes, it's... I'm so bad at pronunciation. Dai Guan?
Sure.
So Dai Guan, and he's like, use your special power. And Dai Guan is like, okay, and becomes a dragon.
Yeah.
The dragon from the title. So he then is ordered to lead a charge against the temple. With his fire breath, he takes down the shield. And the army works their way towards the temple interior and the monks inside. And then Dai Guan reflects on his life as an orphan working in the mines until the overseer imparted on him the ability to become a jade-colored dragon. So at first, you think that maybe he's a mutant. or something like that. But he got this power from an overseer of a mining operation.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what that means.
Who was safeguarding the ancient knowledge of the dragon? Our ancestors believe that dragons of jade lay beneath the earth, lending their powers to great warriors, their wisdom to priests, their ability to heal to physicians. And then he has, yes, very complicated feelings about, like, why is he working for the government to help kill more people, just like it killed his parents, but they were enemies of the state, and he should hate enemies of the state.
So let's take a little break and go back to Tamarind Island, though. We haven't been there before.
I mean,
or since, you know, the big crater.
Right. But also, what a split.
So a man and a woman climb out of a boat, and they're like, oh shit, that big house is gone. And the woman references a deceased husband and the lack of a will, so she gets ownership of the island and everything on it. But before they can get any further, the Canadian military is like, who are you? Like, we own this land. And the man, who's a lawyer,
yeah,
is like, hold the fuck up. Nope, and you didn't follow any protocol to declare the island eminent domain.
Right. There were no condemnation proceedings regarding Tamarind Island, or my office, executors of the Lankowski estate would have known of it. And you're a lawyer hired by Walter Lankowski? Asks one person, and the veiled woman takes her hat off and says, no, by me, I'm Veronica Lankowski.
Oh, Ronnie.
This is a very, like, dynasty moment.
It is. All right, then we go back to China.
And Puck, who had, like, been in a trance, bore no malice, is now rappelling and smashing through a window of the temple rather than, you know, going through a door.
Mm.
And he meets the High Lama, and the High Lama knows all the things about Puck just by touching his forehead. He's also floating.
And they discuss transcending this mortal life.
Yes. Which I feel like is a very Buddhist concept of, like, escaping the cycle of death and rebirth and moving on to nothingness. Like, that is part of the goal for Buddhism. So the High Lama is thinking, like, it's okay, we transcend the wheel of life and death. And then the dragon appears.
And Puck is defending the llama.
He's not doing a great job.
No. But the llama flies in front of the flames and is incinerated.
It's true. The High Lama dies to protect Puck.
Daiguan flings Puck to the side and goes outside to report the llama's death to the commander, who says the monks will be the next to die. But then Daiguan has a change of heart, rejects this, and starts attacking his fellow soldiers.
It's true. Some dude is flung by being grabbed by the leg.
And inside the temple, Puck communes with the Astral Llama.
Yes.
Who gives him a choice of destinations. He's like, okay, I can open a lot of portals here. In one of the worlds presented, he sees Alpha Flight battling Dream Queen and her troops. And he selects that one. And the llama dissolves the barrier between the two worlds, combining the fighting Chinese forces with those of Dream Queen and putting Alpha Flight in the thick of things.
And that's where the issue ends.
So,
it's a cliffhanger.
It is, another one. So, we're stringing together these stories. This is making this book even more inaccessible to new readers. Like, this is deep in some Alpha Flight lore at this point.
Because it's like, they're in China, they're in Live World.
They're on Tamarind Island. It's very much a soap opera at this point.
Referencing past characters, like, Walter hasn't been referenced by name in who knows how many issues.
Yeah. Eric Mies, no address given, I believe, writes in to express his dissatisfaction with the Derangers being killed in their first full appearance. And editorial joked that they needed to fill their tragedy quota, so they had to kill them off.
We just covered Great Lakes Avengers with Escape the Mojoverse, which was a great time. Like, lovely time recording with them.
Yes.
Great look, discussion.
That's dropping November 14th on their feed.
Yeah, so check that out. And one of the things that was talked about was sort of these deaths of characters, and apparently that's a running shtick with Ecstatics. It happened with this latest X Factor. I don't think I like that. Like, why can't you bring interesting characters in and not kill them off right away? So, that's my
So,
two cents.
Aaron English of Gig Harbor, Washington, wrote in to call attention to the training exercise from issue 51. And he's like, the uniforms had U.S. Army on them.
Oh.
So he gets a no prize because he actually then gave an in-universe explanation about why Gary Cody was working with Americans.
Oh.
So.
So the no prize is you find something inconsistent and you make it fit.
Yes,
Ah.
in continuity. So, Jim Lee actually drew on a personal trip to China for this issue
Oh.
and used reference photos. Like, they found a Chinese soldier, and Jim Lee was like, "Can I try on your uniform while my girlfriend takes pictures?" So he could accurately draw them.
Oh.
So, those uniforms, at least, were accurate and don't say
Yeah.
US Army on them.
The Oriental mysticism trope seems alive and well, though, which is unfortunate. Although
Which I'm
the
not sure, I don't know what religion Bill Mantlo was, if any. I don't know if he is Buddhist or something like that. So.
'cause at least that part was accurate of the sense of wanting to go out rather than be cycled through more life and rebirth. Asta is napping. She just did a gigantic roll flop and is fully on her side, like Posse's askew, dreaming Bun Bun dreams. Oh, munch, munch, munch. Maybe she's dreaming of having treats. It is her main motivator in life.
Yes, I mean, it is mid-morning, so
Yes.
it's about time that she starts her daily nap.
Which will last for several hours.
Yes, issue 60 is called War. What is it good for? This brings us up to July 1988. It's.
What were you doing in July 1988?
I don't know, like not even in preschool
Being a toddler,
yet.
we were probably teething and disasters.
So what this is a big battle
Yeah,
issue.
because the barrier between worlds has been dissolved a little bit. Dream Queen's forces, Alpha Flight,
Everything's mixing.
the
It's like
Chinese
a it's a
army,
hot dish of a battle.
Daiguan in dragon form, they're all there. They're all battling. And in Moscow, they have this gigantic screen that's like 5 stories tall. The biggest of.
This is Canada, not
Oh, this is
Moscow.
Canada.
Yeah, that's the Prime Minister.
Oh, Moscow starts on the previous page. They also have a 5-story screen, but it's more of a map situation rather than a movie screen.
So the Canadians were like, "We need to wake up the Prime Minister, shit's going down."
Yeah, Moscow knows about this. Washington knows about this. Ottawa knows about this. And the Canadian Prime Minister gets there in his bathrobe and he's like, Alpha Flight? Ah.
And they're like, "Oh shit. That's our national team. What the fuck are they doing there?"
Causing an international incident is what.
Yep.
So they have to try and figure out how are they going to calm down this international incident without going to nuclear war.
So back in China, Sasquatch asks how they were transported into the middle of a different location. And Box is like, "Magic."
In so many ways, it's just magic.
So, the team is still battling Dream Queen and the troops she summons from the depths of their imaginations. And even though they come from their minds, she says the threat to them is still real. And to prove this, Mannequin is slashed by one of them. And his other selves respond. Elsewhere, Puck comes across a prone Heather and vows to help the team in their hour of need.
Yes.
Laura is almost attacked by one of the Dream Soldiers, but Goblin intervenes and is injured. Laura in turn moves to protect her sister as Box blasts away, another attacker headed towards them. Dream Queen uses her power and she gets info about Alpha Flight from Sasquatch's mind and finds out that among the current team, none has the power to oppose her.
They used to have mystical teammates, and now they're gone. And there's a nice reference to like, oh, here's a glaring power set that's missing from this team.
Yeah. Puck leaves Heather and seeks out the llama, who says, "Go into a trance. You'll find your way forward."
And it's interesting that the Dream Queen soldiers are phasing through the monks. And it's sort of like a seed of this idea that the Dream Queen soldiers are not actually real. So that's what Puck sees when he enters this trance. That Dream Queen is standing in this portal, sort of directing this farce, essentially.
Back at the battle, Laura manifests a new ability and begins to understand she can close the portal to Live World.
Yeah, Purple Girl helps point out that she was the one that protected Goblin in the womb. Therefore, she has her own innate powers that she can activate.
Yeah. So Puck tumbles in and tackles the Dream Queen through a portal into Live World. Laura uses her new found power and begins to close the portal, eventually trapping Dream Queen and Puck there. As the battle wraps up, Box rushes to Heather's side, and the Llama Spirit uses his power and fully heals her. And then the spirit transports the entire team, plus the dragon Daiguan, away from the temple.
Somehow that's enough to sort of placate the superpower forces. Like, Russia starts to stand down, the Washington starts to stand down.
The military commander, he withdrew his troops and was preparing another assault on the temple, is ordered by his government to stand down as
Yes.
he's incited a possible international incident. And the Chinese government is like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Like, those were just Canadian superheroes you were battling. Like, no.
Yeah, he's on the phone with Chairman Mao, apparently.
In Washington, the Americans are like, oh, I'm so glad there's no war. The Canadian Prime Minister is vowing that the team will answer for the catastrophe.
Yes, and that's how the issue resolves. Good for Laura Dean for realizing her power.
Stuart Greenberg of the Department of Psychology at Virginia Tech writes a very lengthy letter.
Oh.
He thought Wanda's resurrection was not satisfying, as she now not only as she now must not only identify herself but deal with the loss of Aurora. Moreover, he has a major problem with Whitman's romance with Purple Girl. Quote, "I hope Wit gets better, but someone, Vindicator, should slap some sense into that Joker. He must be in his mid-20s and he is making moves on the Purple Girl, who is all of 16 or 17. Really, guys."
Yeah.
Editorial, while responding to other aspects of his letter, did not address the mannequin Purple Girl relationship at all.
Opportunity missed.
Yeah, you have like an academic writing in at this point being like, this is real
This
bad.
is super inappropriate.
And they're like, well, we're not going to talk about that. We'll print your letter, but we're not going to talk about it. So,
Maybe did they realize that they made a mistake?
yes,
And they're
maybe.
like, oh, if we don't address it, it'll go away.
No.
Ugh.
So, to address the cover of issue 59, which says, Puck's back, but for how long? One issue.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He had the thought bubble, at least I get to die in a new land,
Sure.
in some place new and exciting,
Yeah.
like he always wanted.
Yes. So we, at, by the end of this issue, Alpha Flight is back in Canada.
Yes, we don't know where yet,
No.
but
Presumably. Like, they get to go back to Canada.
yeah.
And that's the end of that big arc that began with them blasting off into space.
Yeah. Does Daiguan join the team?
You'll see.
All the questions.
Yeah. So, what do you think of these three issues?
I mean, outside of the funky, probably problematic tropes of Eastern mysticism, I guess I liked it. I like that Laura Dean got a power up. I like that Purple Girl is sort of coming into her own and sort of like not only leveling up her powers, but also speaking up for herself in the team and being like, hey, no, stop fighting. Like, there's a way to reason through this.
Yeah.
in a way that's so much better than like just punching a problem. And I don't know how I feel about the geopolitics of it all.
It's very weird.
Like, we're missing a whole big piece of context from the Cold War.
Yeah.
Which was happening when this was coming out.
Yes.
So, like, sure, international incident.
Yeah,
it's... And it's one of those threads that was planted way back when, I feel, with Byrne. And, like, oh, you have this team... They're like the American Avengers, but what if there's an international incident, and yeah. Now it's like, this is them having an international incident. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very quick, I'd say. Like, it's bouncing a lot, and this is a problem with this era of Alpha Flight, I'd say. It levels out a little as we're entering the end of the Mantlo era, but then we'll see with Hudnall. They bounce around like this a lot, issue to issue.
Oh, no.
For quite a few issues. And I just... It's not my favorite part of Alpha Flight, where it is a new scene every single issue, and they're doing something radically different every issue.
I can see how, like, when people say, like, Alpha Flight is zany, like, that fits with zany. Mm-hmm. And if you were invested in the characters from the beginning, you're like, oh, like, I guess I'll keep this up even if I don't like how zany it is.
Yes.
And then you just keep going with it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like frosting a funky cake, like, covers... The desire for your favorite characters to do something fun will mask a multitude of sins.
Yes, and I think that's what's happening here. Because you get a little bit of the character beats. You see the Canadian government is pissed right now. And you also see that there's something going on with Veronica Linkowski.
Yeah.
So there are threads there, but also, like, the team has just been in space, where last episode we discussed it, like, they created new life on a planet and probably left.
It's very Star Trek Voyager of them.
Yes. It's a lot to take in all at once, and... we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah.
By the end of the Mantlo run, which we have 2 episodes of Mantlo left.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's rough territory from here for a while.
Okay. Well, strap in, folks.
Yeah, listeners, buckle up, because it's a journey. You see a lot of character beats happening, but it's not what we've expected thus far. Like, it's been pretty solid up until, like, they blasted off into space. Like, it's been a pretty consistent, typical superhero thing. And now new boundaries are sort of being explored.
Okay. Well, we got this.
Yes, we do. So, let us know, everyone, how you feel about everything. And we will catch you next time. We won't be back next week with a new episode, but the week following we should be.
Yep.
And it should be a Star Trek episode.
Hooray.
So we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.